श्रीमद्भागवतम 1:11:25 चैप्टर इज लॉर्ड कृष्णाज एंट्रेंस इनटू द्वारका एंड हियर हाउ द द्वारकावासीज रिसीव्ड कृष्णा वेलकम्ड हिम इज डिस्क्राइब्ड नित्यं निरीक्षमाणानां यदपि द्वारकौकसां न वितृप्यन्ति हि दृशः श्रियो धामाङ्गम् अच्युतम् नित्यं निरीक्षमाणानां दे कॉन्स्टेंटली बिहोल्डिंग कृष्णा द द्वारकावासीज हैड इमेंस डिवोशन फॉर कृष्णा एंड दे हैड बीन लॉन्गिंग टू सी हिम फॉर अ लॉन्ग लॉन्ग टाइम ड्यूरिंग द पीरियड व्हेन ही हैड गॉन अवे फ्रॉम द्वारका सो Now they were again eagerly beholding Krishna, and as a matter of principle, because Krishna lived in Dwarka, they saw him frequently. In fact, almost daily, regularly they saw him, and they would also see him because of their great love for him. They would also see him in their hearts constantly. So regularly they saw him externally because he lived in Dwarka, and constantly they saw him within their heart because they had devotion for him. And yet, yadapi dwarakaukasam, yadapi, although they saw him, still navitrupyanti hidrushaha, still their eyes were not satisfied. Krishna's beauty was so immense, so irresistible. The joy and ecstasy in seeing him was so thrilling that shriyo dhamangam achyutam. Shriyo Dhamangam, they saw him as Dhamanga. His bodily limbs, they were the Dhamma, they were the residing places of Shriya, beauty. It means he was immensely beautiful. It was as if a beauty had come to reside in his body. Achyutam, such was the Lord. So they beheld him without getting tired of beholding him, because when they saw him, they saw that he was the all-attractive Supreme Lord, who was the reservoir of all beauty. Shriyo Dhamangam Achyutam. In his form, all beauty resided. Text 26. Shriyo Nivaso Yasyo Raha पानपात्रं मुखं दृशां बाहवो लोकपालानां साराङ्गाणं पदाम्बुजं श्रियो निवासो यस्योरः सो नाउ इन द प्रीवियस वर्स इट वाज सेड दैट ब्यूटी श्रियो धामाङ्गमच्युतं ब्यूटी रिजाइडेड इन हिज लिम्स दिस इज अ ब्यूटिफुल वे ऑफ स्टेटिंग दैट ही वाज एक्सट्रीमली ब्यूटिफुल But it is not just a poetic expression. It is something which is given specific elaboration in the next verse about how his various limbs were beautiful. The Dwarkavasis were beholding Krishna and how he was extremely beautiful. That is described over here. Shriyo Nivaso Yasya Oraha. Oraha is a chest. So on his chest resided the goddess of fortune. It means that the goddess of fortune was actually present as the Shrivatsa hair, which is a band of white hair, a strip of white hair on his chest, which was how Lakshmi Devi had fulfilled her aspiration to be always with her Lord, to be always on her Lord, and he had granted her a place on his chest in the form of Shrivatsa. So in that sense, Lakshmi Devi was there. Lakshmi Devi was the residing place of his the residing place of Lakshmi Devi was his chest. Panapatram mukham drusham. So, panapatram. Now, the drinking pot. Normally, if we are thirsty, then if we have a drinking pot, from that drinking pot, our thirst is fulfilled because it contains water. So his face was like the drinking pot. Mukham drusham. So, that means his whole face was a reservoir of beauty was a place from which beholders could drink as much beauty as they wanted. Such was his exquisite beauty. When some people are extraordinarily beautiful, they catch the attention of everyone else, and people, the onlookers may feel that, oh, this is such so beautiful. But even the most beautiful people, over time, their beauty becomes familiar. But Krishna's beauty, as was mentioned in the previous verse, Navitrupyanti, they would never get satiated. It was unending. And one aspect of the unending nature was, unending beauty was that his face was like a reservoir, like a nectar pot, a container that contained unlimited amount of beauty. Just by now, normally we drink water from a drinking pot through our tongue, through our mouth. But beauty is beheld through our eyes. So when a beautiful object is considered to be a drinking pot, this is a metaphor, and appropriately, it says that is required, a mouth is required to drink the water. So here it is said, the mouth is the eyes. That means, normally, we see with our eyes, but the experience of Krishna is so extraordinarily beautiful, is so extraordinarily thrilling, fulfilling, that to give us some indication of its exquisiteness, here two sensory delights are combined together. Seeing with the eyes is pleasurable, but drinking water when we are thirsty, or drinking some delicious juice when we are thirsty, that is a extremely pleasurable experience. And that experience, the Dwarkavasis, especially the ladies of Dwarka, they had when they beheld the form of Krishna. They felt as if his face was a reservoir of beauty. Panapatram mukham drusham bahavo lokapalana palanam. Bahavo, his arms, they were lokapalanam. So they were the reservoirs of the, they were the resting places of the lokpals. The lokpals, literally it means that those who protect the people. Lokapal also technically refers to the protectors of the universe. So there are four lokpals. Usually they are listed as Yama, Varuna, Indra, and sometimes Vayu. But irrespective of how specifically the four lokpalas are listed, the important point is that here, when it is said that the lokpals are the they rest in Krishna's arms, that means that they get their strength from Krishna. So it is Krishna's arms that are the protectors of everyone ultimately, because whatever strength the lokpalas have to protect people, to protect the lokas, that strength comes from Krishna. So normally, beauty and strength are not usually present in the same person. Beauty is thought of as a feminine attribute, and strength is thought of as a masculine attribute. But in this particular description of Krishna, both the feminine and the masculine are combined together in an extraordinary measure. That is, face is like a unending pot of beauty to be drunk with the eyes, and his arms are an inexhaustible reservoir of strength which can protect everyone. Saranganam padambujam. Saranganam. Saranga refers to the devotees who talk and sing of the essence of the substance. Saranga. So those who sing about the Sara, they are the Paramhamsas, they are devotees, Padambujam, and they reside at the feet. That means The devotees don't just behold the beauty of Krishna or relish the strength of Krishna. The devotees also relish the fact that they are the servants of Krishna and that Krishna's lotus feet are a reservoir of unlimited nectar. So by understanding how Krishna's lotus feet are filled with so much nectar, we can also seek to connect with those lotus feet, seek to glorify those lotus feet, seek to become absorbed in those lotus feet, and thus we can transcend the temptations of material existence and move steadily towards Krishna by absorption in Him. Text 27. Sita tapatra vyajanair upaskrutaha prasun varshair abhivarshitaha pathi pishangavasa vanmalaya babhau ghano yathar kodupachap vaidyutai Sita tapatra. Atapatra is an umbrella. Sita means like we have Shweta Shyam, white and black. Black and white TV is called Shweta Shyam. So like that, Sita also means white. So Sita Atapatra, there is a fair umbrella. Vijanair Upaskrutaha. Vijanair. Vijanair is a Chamara fan. Upaskrutaha. He was being served by. So as Krishna entered the city of Dwarka and passed through the streets of Dwarka while going towards his own palace, he was being served with an umbrella being held over his head, with he being offered a chamara fan for fanning. Prasuna varshai. Prasuna varshai. Prasuna is flowers. Varshai is showered down upon. So from above, from the terraces, the ladies were there and other people were standing nearby. They were all showering flowers on him. Abhivarshita pathi. Abhivarshita pathi. The whole path, not just a few flowers were sprinkled here and there. Lavishly flowers were showered. And in fact, the whole road was covered by not only profusion of flowers below, but he was being lavishly appreciated, glorified, and served. Pishangavasa vanmalaya babhau. Pishangavasa. Vasaha is clothes were yellow in color. Krishna is famous for wearing the pitambar, which is a standard dress. Pishangavasa vanmalaya babhau. Vanmalaya. Now he was wearing a flower garland and babhau. It became, so how did it appear? When Krishna was walking like this with his with flower garlands and with a dressed in yellow garments, ghano yathar kodu pukchap vaidyutai. Ghano, it appeared as if there's a cloud. Yatha arka, and when the sun is there and the sun intersperses with the cloud, roop, the moon, chap vaidyutai. So Udupa is the moon, Chapa is the rainbow, and Vaidyutai is the lightning. So normally, when we have, there's a sky, we normally see the sun or the moon. We don't see the sun and the moon together. And even if we see sometimes, say at the twilight, morning or evening time, twilight, they are usually far away from each other. But when Normally if we look at the sky, what are the striking things that we may see in the sky? The sun catches the eye, the moon catches the eye, the night time. And sometimes when there is rains coming or rains about to come, at that time you might see a rainbow. And rainbow also catches the eye. And another thing that catches the eye is, which may not last for a long time, but when it comes it is very eye-catching, scaring also sometimes, but attractive when it is there, especially on a dark night. It is a lightning. So now, it has appeared in this way that Krishna, as he was walking along, it appeared and all the beautiful things in the sky, which can be there at different times, they were all there with Krishna when he walked along on the through the roads. So as he was walking along through the roads, so it is described that the as he was walking along, his own form, he's often called as Ghanshyam. He's bluish black in complexion and Navanirada Nindita. Navanirada, like a new cloud, his complexion is. So Krishna's own form is compared to a cloud over here, a dark cloud. And Srila Prabhupada explains what is being compared to what over here. So in his purport, he says that the white umbrella that was there over his head, that was compared to the sun. And then Chamara fan that was being used to fan him, that is compared to the moon. Now the shower of flowers from above is compared to the stars. The stars are not specifically mentioned in the translation, but that is also apt because flowers were mentioned as being showered earlier. And Prabhupada adds to the enhances the beauty of the metaphor with that. And then further, yellow garments are compared to the lightning, and the flower garlands on his chest are compared to a rainbow. So now, poetry often uses indirect speech, and often poetry uses ornaments like atishoyakti, hyperbole, to convey things which are not in a very emotionally riveting way, a way that is not possible through prose or text, normal text. So here, the very impossibility of all these things to be to be together at the same time, that impossibility highlights the extraordinariness of the beauty of the Lord as is being described in this verse. In this way, Sutta Goswami gives us a small inkling of what was the sight that was beheld by the Dwarkavasis, and that was on display when the Lord walked through the streets of Dwarka. Indeed, when Krishna is glorified, words are not enough to glorify him. And yet, words are used to glorify him, because the purpose and perfection of words is to be used to glorify him. And in this way, by using this image, by drawing this image with his words, Sutta Goswami gives us some idea of how exquisitely beautiful Krishna was. And further, text 28, Pravishtastu Gruham Pitro Parishvak Parishvaktah Swamatribhi Bhavande Shirasa Sapta Devaki Pramukhamuda. So Pravishtastu Gruham Pitro. So Krishna, when he came, he did not directly go to his own house. He went to his parents' house. Gruham Pitraha. Fathers, Pravishkataha, he was embraced, Swamatribhi. Now it is not said as a Mata, Swamatribhi, by his mothers. So, Vande, and he offered his obeisances unto them. How? Shirasa, by offering his head, by bowing down his head to them. Now, Sapta, there were seven mothers, it is described. And along with that, among them, Devaki Pramukha Muda. Devaki was Pramukha. And she was the chief. And they were all Muda, delighted to see Krishna. So, Vasudev had several wives. Now, we normally know about two prominent wives. That is, Devaki and then Rohini. But at that time, kings would often have many wives, and often they would also form marriages so that there would be political alliances, so that the bonds between kingdoms would be strengthened, especially bonds between allies would be strengthened by marital relationships, and even sometimes bonds between enemies would be established and animosity would be decreased through marital ties. So, whatever the specifics, so they had seven queens, and it is Krishna offered respects to all of them. His own mother was prominent, but other mothers also he did not neglect. Just as we see in the Ramayana that Ram would offer respect not just to his mother but to all the other mothers also, especially Sumitra and Kaikeyi. So similarly, Krishna also offers respect to all his mothers. Text 29. Taha putram ankam aropya sneha sutpayodharah harsha vivvalita atmanah shishichur netra jalai. So taha putram ankam aropya. Now for a mother, her child is always her child, her baby. She wants to shower her love on her child. Even when the child grows up, even when the child is a powerful person in the world, for the mother, the child is still her child. So here it is described that after embracing Krishna, his mother, they offered him. They sat him on their laps. Now, of course, now Krishna is a fully grown man and he is probably a powerfully built person. So, you can presume that he does not sit this full weight on their lap. But they wanted to shower him there with their affection, and Krishna accepted their expression of affection gradually. And one aspect of the of motherhood that is often talked about in the culture. His motherly love is expressed in a very physically tangible form through the milk that is coming from that milk that comes from the mother's breasts. So here it is stated that when they beheld Krishna, milk started flowing from their udders. Now, with a skeptical mind, we may say that, oh, how can Krishna is now a married man with his own queens, and at such an age, how can his mother have milk in their breasts? So here the important point is to convey that there was so much affection. So whatever in Krishna Leela, quite often whatever is required for the enhancement of affection, that is arranged. So just as Krishna, although Krishna's body is transcendental, but when he's fighting with Bhishma, or when Bhishma is attacking Arjuna, and Krishna is the charioteer, Krishna is not actually fighting, but Krishna is just a part of the fight. At that time, when Bhishma's arrows sometimes hit Krishna, and Krishna's body gives out blood. Now, actually, Krishna's body is transcendental and does not have blood within it. Ashnaviram. There are no veins in his body, and therefore there cannot be any blood in his body. But if the blood enhances the Virya Rasa at that time, then by Krishna's inconceivable arrangement, through his Yogamaya potency, at that time the blood manifests through Krishna's forehead or Krishna's body. And similarly, here, by the arrangement of the inconceivable energy of Krishna, Yogamaya, the maternal affection for him is manifested, is expressed tangibly through the milk overflowing through his mother's breasts. So the point here is to understand how Krishna Leela is an endless festival of love. And this intense love, which was exhibited through jubilant and magnificent celebrations when Krishna entered into the palace, into the city of Dwarka, is now demonstrated through the intimate and intense affection that his mothers have for him, and that affection is overflowing from them in the form of their milk. Text 30. अथाविशत् स्वभवनं सर्वकाममनुत्तमं प्रासाद यत्र पत्नीनां सहस्राणि च षोडश. सो आफ्टर रेसिप्रोकेटिंग विथ हिज पेरेंट्स देन कृष्णा वेंट टू हिज पर्सनल चेंबर अथाविशत् देयर आफ्टर अविशत् ही एंटर्ड इनटू स्वभवनं हिज ओन पैलेस सर्वकाममनुत्तमं. सो sarvakamam, all desires anuttamam, they were able to fulfill in a perfect way. The palaces themselves were all fully perfect in their own, in fulfilling whatever desires a person might have. Prasada yatra patninam. Prasada, in those palaces, yatra, there in patninam, his wives lived over there. Sahasrani cha shodasha. Sahasrani is 1000. Shodasha is 16. So 16,000 queens lived over there. So how Krishna got so many queens is described in the 10th canto. Here, in this particular point, is that Krishna is settled as a householder in Dwarka, and in his capacity as a householder, he is delighted. He is ecstatic. He is jubilant as he absorbs, as he relishes and reciprocates love with his various devotees. So Krishna is eternally ecstatic and so are his devotees. And now he is coming to his palace to reciprocate Madhurya Ras with his Madhurya Ras Leela with his queens. And thus, it is stated over here that Krishna went to Swabhavanam, his own palaces. So the opulence of Krishna is manifested in many ways. One of the ways in which that opulence is manifested is through his having so an extraordinarily high number of queens, that is 16,000. So now how he reciprocates with them is described in the next verse and thereafter. Patnyah patim proshya grahan upagatam vilokya sanjatamano mahotsavaha utasthur arat sahasanashayat sakamratai vriditalo chananaha. So, patnyah patim prosha. His wives, when they saw that their husband, who had been prosha, who had been away for a long time, graha anupagatam, that now he has returned back to their homes, they were delighted. Vilokya, they saw him, sanjata. So, as soon as they saw him, what happened in their mind, was born in their mind, mano mahotsavaha, a magnificent festival. A jubilation erupted in their minds on beholding their Lord who had returned. Utasthur arata. They got up. They saw him from a distance as he was entering into the palace. And they got up and they ran towards him. Sahasa asana. They would have liked to run towards him, but immediately they got up. Suddenly from their asana, wherever they were seated. Ashayat. From the state of meditation, some of them were sitting on their seats, some of them were sitting in meditation, and they all got up. Sakam vratai. So what happened was, usually it is said that women often perform vows for the well-being of their families. So when Krishna was away from them, some of the queens were involved in the meditative vow. So whether they were sitting on a seat or they were sitting in meditation in a vow, they just got up immediately. And vrudi talo chananana. So now when they beheld Krishna, now there is a beauty in subtlety that is often much more endearing than the beauty in overt expression. So we might envision that, okay, when a husband and wife meet for a long time, if there is a great love between them, then they will just run towards each other and embrace each other. And they will hug each other tightly. And that is one way in which affection may be expressed. But there is another way, often in cultured societies, where affection is expressed, especially when there are others also who are beholding, that is through shyness. So when they beheld their husbands, they got up and then they looked away. They covered their faces. So the idea is that there is a beauty in shyness that is often far more captivating than the beauty that is there in overt expression. So here, through their shyness, through covering their faces, they were inviting their husband to come closer, to uncover their faces and to behold them and to have loving exchanges with them. So that's another way, a more subtle and in many ways a sweeter way of reciprocating intense love and expressing love that the queens are exhibiting. Here, we'll continue our discussion about what happened further in our next class. Thank you. Thank you.